Kentucky Lake and Barkley, Sardis, Ross, Burnett, Toledo Bend, Rayburn, and Conroe he won't forget. He loved Lake of the Ozark, he loved Table Rock, bull shows on the White River, he ain't gonna never stop.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we've got stuff going on all around, especially here and in Baja. We have, of course, we've got the Grizz that's held over for us, and we're going to be talking to Grizz. But we have another very special guest. We have Francisco Vargas, who is a resident of Los Cabos. He's a very prominent attorney down there. I hope you don't mind if I say so, Francisco. But he also let Grizz, myself, and our friend Manfred from Germany the use of his 46-foot, call it a yacht, for last couple of days to check out some equipment that was made in Germany, and it's designed for being able to put a camera on the end of a fishing line and take video in color as the lure or the bait is going through the water and actually see what's under the water and the game fish coming up and taking it. And that was very, very exciting, Francisco. We really appreciate your use of the boat.
Well, thank you. Thank you, John. It was my pleasure to serve you and to show to this opportunity, this important vacation and spa destination with a great variety of seats of interest that we have here in Cabo San Lucas, the distinctive of the arch and all the things that you can find, the largest marlin tournament in the world. This is the city of the marlin.
Well, Grizz,
yes, sir.
You and I know why you and I were chosen to do the first field test of this particular equipment, but why would Cabo San Lucas and La Paz be the place to do it?
Well, I'm going to tell you, John, you know, I've been fishing for 30 years all over the world, and there's just not a better place as it is. It's the capital of the world for marlin down there in Cabos. And then we had Francisco with his fantastic boat out there and his crew and stuff to make it all possible to do the hookups, to film what we did. And in La Paz, the Dorado were running. So, I mean, we took the best places of both worlds and put it together. And, you know, the Germans want the expertise. And, John, you and I, we have that. And people like Francisco with his fantastic boat, his crew, everything just absolutely went perfect.
Well, I would say that it certainly was a good trip. There's no question about that. We went out on the first day of our trip. And it was some little technical difficulties with the camera system because, you know, this was not a prototype, but this is actually the first time it's actually been in the field under these type of conditions for this type of use. So the first day was okay. You know, it didn't work out as well as we planned, but Francisco and his crew certainly did the job. We got a huge 180-pound with marlin, I think, was that the first day? And then this is kind of an interesting story because we also got a 50-pound Dorado. And Manfred from Germany had never been deep-water fishing. He'd never seen a marlin, never seen a Dorado. So when we pull up this big marlin and the 50-pound Dorado, he had nothing to compare it to. He goes, oh, is that what a Dorado looks like? So say, no, that's not normally what they look like, Manfred.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, usually, you know, 8 to 12 pounds is what you normally find. But it was quite an experience, and he certainly got some stories.
Well, you know, John, down there on Francisco's boat, thanks to Francisco and his team, we pulled in 2 days two fish, two Dorados that were 50.
Well,
and
I would say between the two Dorados, they came out to about 100 pounds between the two of them.
Well, yeah, at least, John, it was good.
Mm-hmm.
And everything. And then we had the sailfish on. We had two marlin. We caught a marlin each day. I mean, remember on the camera, one sailfish ate the camera, spit it out, thank God. But it just was something awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then, of course, when we took it up, when the camera really shined, was when we were able to do slow troll with live bait up on the paws. And, you know, we only fished for, well, less than half a day. But, you know, we hooked 8 Dorado. And it was a lot of fun. But before we run out of time, which we're almost out of, Francisco, it might be fair for at least you to mention, because your boat is available for charter.
It's available for all the people. The name is Fish Squisher.
Okay.
It's 45 feet. And, you know, I know that in the U.S. You have more than 45,000 fishermen, so... So this is the place they have to come.
Yeah, there you go.
It's the the better opportunity to have a great experience in Cabo San Lucas, as you become a very important vacation and spa destination with a great variety of activities.
Francisco, we could give contact information, but it would take too long. The best thing to do, if people want to an experience, a 45-foot yacht with a huge salon, air conditioned. We had 10 people in there, and it wasn't crowded, just in the salon, plus another up on top. So if someone wants to travel first class in a way that they can be afford, get in touch with me or the Grizz. Francisco, we appreciate that, and we're going to be talking with you again sometime. Thank you very much.
Talk to you next week, Francisco. Have a good one.
And to Mike, and we will be in touch, and all the Americans are welcome into Cabo.
Okay, thank you. Well, and right now, while we're down in the, you know, the southern latitudes, we're going to jump across from this tip of the Baja to the tip of Florida, and we're going to go over to Isla Morada, and we have Bob from the Holiday Isle Resort on the line, and he's going to give us an idea what he's been up to down there.
Well, I've been good afternoon, guys. How are you?
Great.
I'm doing good, Bob, and you?
Good. Been dodging Hurricane Irene, and thankfully she made no presence around the Keys and scooted right on by without incident or even much of a heavy rainfall here, so we're all thankful for that.
Yeah, but I guess up north they're really buttoning down the hatch is what I just heard on the internet.
And just the thought of Irene has had a negative effect on business down here, but we're ready to bounce back now. And there's been very little fishing the last 2 or 3 days with rough waters and whatnot. So everybody's anxious to get back to work.
There you go, Bob. And I've found that after a storm comes through, it bounces back very quickly and sometimes even better, you know, especially if you get things that are floating in the water. So it's always a good time to go down there. But what else has been happening around your place?
Let's see. Last week before the storm, we had a couple of movie stars down here at the Holiday Isle and Carmen Electra and... Brooke Hogan were here. They're filming a new movie that will be coming out later called The Two-Headed Shark. And they are two of the... Don't know what the plot is or...
That doesn't sound too good.
They went out on a big party boat every morning at about 7 and filmed out at sea. So don't know too much more about the movie, but they were very nice and posed for pictures while they were here.
Oh, that's nice. So they're staying at the resort?
Create a little buzz around the marina.
Mm-hmm. So, well, if they're staying at your resort, there's probably a reason for that.
Yep. We have the best resort in the middle and upper Keys, Holiday Isle, and we're about halfway through with our $10 million renovation, so things are beginning to look very, very good.
Wow. Okay.
I got to get down there and check it out.
Yeah, well, you know, the invitation's out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, and no, we appreciate that, Bob. And, of course, we're going to get you over maybe to the other side, over to Baja one of these days, too. And that way you can see what the difference is between the two.
Yeah, we don't have any two-headed sharks over here.
Bob, we don't really have time to go into it right now, but, you know, the next time you come on, I think we'd like to talk about what the difference is between the Holiday Isle and Baja, because the water temperature's same, you got a lot of similar fish, but of course it's not the same. But if anybody wants to get in touch, is it holidayisle.com?
.com.
Oh, that's an easy one. Holidayisle.com. Even Grizz can remember that one. But we appreciate you coming on, Bob, and we're going to be talking to you next week. Grizz, if you don't mind hanging over for a couple of minutes, we've got some more exciting stuff coming up. So you're listening to Fish Talk Radio, and this is John, the Grizz, and thank you, Bob.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
Set on the magnificent Sea of Cortez, the Grand Heritage Resort and Spa at Marina Costa Baja is the first five-star resort in La Paz, Baja South. Overlooking a 250-slip marina and white sand beaches, enjoy two signature restaurants, a world-class destination for fishing or diving. Enjoy five-star elegance in the charming laid-back city of La Paz. Dock your boat and enjoy the Marina Village. Visit on the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have the Grizz on the line from La Paz, and we've just been talking a little bit about what we've been up to. But what we're going to do now is we're going to talk a little bit about something else. We have Mark from Bass Angler Magazine on the line with us, and we're going to see if we can get an update. This time of the year, Mark, what's the fishing like?
You know, fishing's pretty good. We went out Wednesday, and we had, I swear, about 200 bites. We only caught 50 fish only, but, you know, the transition between 200 bites and 50 fish is a big difference. But, you know, we went fishing out in the California Delta, fishing for smallmouth. And, you know, right up now, you know, for the next couple months, fishing gets really good. It's, you know, a time of year when the fish are in transition, fattening up for the winter, so they're really feeding heavy. You know, probably 75% of the fish we caught were spitting up these little crawdads on the way back to the boat. So it was neat to see how they were really feeding and still biting the lure, still hungry after more things.
That's incredible, and I love those smallmouth. They're great to fish with. What were you doing, jigging for them?
No, you know, we're the better ones we caught on a spinnerbait.
Did you on spinnerbait?
Yeah, even though, you know, I thought it was kind of funny that the fish were spitting up crawfish, you know, you'd think you'd be catching them on a jig or a crankbait.
Yeah, exactly.
The better ones were coming on a spinnerbait. We did catch quite a few on a Senko and a bunch of them on crankbaits, too.
Well, that's great. They put up a great fight. What was your biggest size?
Oh, only about 3 pounds.
Well, that's still an awful good smallmouth.
Oh, yeah, you know, they're fun. You know, I mean, even the 10-inchers were a lot of fun. It was just a great day. You know, it would have been a great day to have a kid out, you know, getting bit so many times. It was, you know, probably every fifth cast you were getting a bite. So it was incredible.
Man, that sounds great. Well, it's always good to have a kid, even if the fishing isn't good. You know, just get him out and let him see the real world. Get him out of the front of that television and those games.
Oh, exactly. You know, I took my girls out last weekend, you know, and they're 9 and 12. So, you know, they're not all into, you know, dad and parents and all that stuff. But, you know, I took them out to the lake the other day, and even though we didn't catch a fish, you know, we just kind of threw a line out, let it sit. They had just a wonderful time. And, you know, we got done, they were like, thanks, Dad, for taking us fishing. And, you know, it was really nice. And even though we didn't catch a fish, and you know, tell you the truth, I wouldn't even have had to know what I was doing. I just could have put a weight on the end of the line and thrown it out in the lake. And, you know, the kids just watch the fishing pole, and then they, you know, they run around the snack bar and, you know, run around the grass and do all kinds of stuff. And, you know, it was a good time.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing on my television show. I try everybody to see that my son and I fish all over the world together. Charlie and I, he's 14, and he's already got 6 world records, and he's probably one of the better fishermen than I've ever seen in my life.
Grizz, you're not a proud father, are you?
Yes, I am.
But in this case, it really is true. I fish with Charlie. But that's a great thing, you know, to be able, you know, especially, you know, in these modern times, to be able to spend time with your kids that way and enjoy the same passions. And, you know, your daughter likes to get out in the water, too, so it's a great family thing.
Yeah, you're talking about my daughter or
yes.
your daughter?
Mm-hmm.
My daughters love to fish, you know, and also I took out my I have a couple of stepsons. I took one out in the bay this last Friday. We went out fishing for halibut and striper and salmon. And, you know, it's rough and cold and, you know, fishing wasn't that good. We caught, three or four fish, I think. You know, and I was kind of worried that, you know, maybe he's not having a good time. It wasn't a good experience. But he came back and told all his friends what a great time he had and, you know, how wonderful it was. And, you know, I was thrilled because, you know, you always worry about, you know, the kids having a good time. I think that's something that us as parents worry about a lot, probably a lot more than we should. I think we just need to take them out and just go out and do it. And even if it's a little rough or not quite as nice as we'd like, you know, the kids are still having a good time.
Yeah, that's right. And you're not going to know unless you take them out there.
Exactly.
Yeah, this year my 19-year-old daughter caught her first big marlin with John. And that was quite she's one of those real prissy girls, but she had a great time catching that marlin,
yeah,
didn't
good.
She, John?
Oh, yeah. No, she's a natural. But what we're gonna do right now is we're making another transition. Jumping over to the lake a little bit. Mark at Bass Angler Magazine. It's what's the website? The magazine, Bass Angler Magazine, correct?
BassAnglerMag.com.
That's it. Okay. Thanks for coming in today, Mark. We're going to be talking to you soon. Right now, we've got Todd on the line from Lake Hemet that's in kind of a Southern California area up in the mountains. And this is an exciting time of the year for you, Todd. I guess we're trying to wait for the crowds to subside so you get to subside, I think is what I said, to enjoy the lake yourself.
Oh, you better believe it. Yeah, it's actually starting to teeter off a little bit as far as the folks coming here because there's people are in school already and things like that. But no, we're having a good day up here. It's about 90 degrees or so while everybody else is in the hundreds, from what I understand. And people are coming up here and camping and they're fishing and there's trout to be had and it looks like a pretty nice day up here.
Well, that's great. Yeah, I'm about 105 right now.
Wow. Wow,
John
wow.
took when John was here, everything went down to about 88, 90.
That's perfect.
As soon as he left,
yeah,
it all got hot again.
Well, I like the warm weather, but low 80s is perfect for me.
Well, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
But right now, I think it's 107.
Okay.
Yeah. Good for you guys. You guys want to know what's happening up here?
So that's why we're calling.
Yeah, I do. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too. We've got folks coming up here camping. We have a great special going on to get people up here enjoying the outdoors in Riverside County. And we've got right now, if you actually camp here for two nights on the weekdays, we will actually throw in a third night for free. So that's great, and folks can.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
And then we also we're giving folks Monday through Friday half off of all of our boat rentals.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, I mean, we have a pontoon boat. We have a couple of them up here that you can put 10 of them, 10 people on the pontoon boat, and you're looking at, 165 divided by 2, you're looking at $82.50 all day for the pontoon boat. So,
you can't beat that with a stick.
Oh, yeah. And the trout are biting, and we had someone just took a picture of a couple of deer on the shoreline doing their little deer dance. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that, but... Yeah, we're having a good time up here.
I've done the deer dance a couple times.
Well,
it's pretty exciting. Well,
yeah.
No, most folks don't know what deer dance is. Some sort of a mating dance that they do, and they dance around, and it's a pretty cool thing to see. So folks are seeing it from the shoreline.
That's great.
Well, I guess it's that time of the year, isn't it, or getting into it?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, right. And then you've got some specials going on. How do we get in touch with you?
I'd like everybody to visit the website. It's a lot easier. All the camping information is there, the boating information. It's lakehemetcampground.com.
LakeHemetCampground.com. Okay, that's a great idea, and, you know, might be a good idea to, as soon as some of those crowds go off, and visit Southern California and get on up there. Thank you, Todd.
Yeah, I've got some family camping up here today with me, so as soon as I get done with my paperwork, I'm on the lake. So I'll see whoever comes up. I'll see you out on the lake. Say hi.
Great. Okay.
All right.
Thanks,
take care, Todd. Buddy.
All righty.
Thanks for calling.
While we're in California, Southern California, we're going to go to Dan Hart, who is one of the experts that resides at West Marine in San Diego in their superstore down on, was it Rosencrantz?
Yeah.
And Dan, exciting time of the year, maybe going into a little bit of a transition, but, you know, to give us a Southern California report, it's been kind of interesting, a little bit of a late start, but how's it looking now?
They're still catching tuna. It's a long ways down, and the weather's kind of bumpy right now, but they're still picking pretty good tuna on the two-day trips, day-and-a-half, two-day trips. Catching some yellowfin. It seems like more yellowfin than bluefin on some trips and vice versa on the others. So that's a good step. But the news about the short stuff is not quite as good. We're not catching good quantities of fish up on the enclosed banks where you can go in your skiffs right now. So that's a little tougher. Guys are occasionally picking a bluefin off of the 302, 425 area, but you're seeing them, but they're not biting very good, so it's a frustrating deal. It's a tough thing to get out of the fish. Inshore, the sand bass are still rocking away, and going on a three-quarter boat, you're pretty much assured almost a limit of sand bass each time you go. It's been that way for about 3 or 4 weeks now, and it's still biting, and that's the good stuff going on inshore. At the Coronados, they're seeing some yellowtail, but the sport boats aren't changing them because they're only picking a couple of fish out of the schools, and they're going to limit sand bass fishing, so they're doing that instead.
Wow. Well, it's a very interesting time of the year, that's for sure, and there's always a reason to go out there. Give us an idea a little bit about what's going on inside the store, Dan, and is there anything that we really need to have to take advantage of all this stuff?
Well, I mean, fishing for this kind of stuff, especially when the fish is picky, you want to fish with smaller hooks, lighter line, fluorocarbon leaders all the time, using live bait. One of the great things about this one, the guys that have been successful on the closer banks have gone out, instead of chasing the fish and chasing the fish and chasing the fish, they're going to an area where they see a few fish popping here and there, stopping, setting up a chum line, and drifting. And they're getting bit a little better that way than they are chasing the fish down. And so that means long soaks with bait, pretty nice, you know, 20-pound line, maybe 20-pound fluorocarbon, or even 15-pound line, 15-pound fluorocarbon, and only use the sardines you can't catch.
Really there you go. Stuff. Chase them around a little bit.
Absolutely.
That's great. And then, of course, if you get a chance to walk in that store, it is almost a destination resort into itself. So if you get the opportunity to be in Southern California, stop in and say hi to Dan. And that location is?
It's at 1250 Rosecrans, right down by Shelter Island Drive. We're just a couple of blocks from the sport fishing landings.
Right.
And we're on the way to the launch ramp at San Diego.
Perfect. Dan, again, another great job. Exciting stuff. Thanks for that great information. And Grizz, if you don't mind sticking around for a couple of minutes, we're going to come back and we have a kind of a different kind of an expert on the line that you're going to find fascinating, absolutely fascinating. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
West Marine is America's favorite boating supply source. They've got thousands of items to keep your boat looking good and running like new. West Marine has an incredible selection of apparel and footwear for all your adventures on land and sea. Boats, motors, screws, fittings, the latest electronics, fishing gear, apparel, and friendly, knowledgeable staff. With locations nationwide, West Marine has all you need for fun on the water. Call 1-800-BOATING or log on to westmarine.com to locate the store nearest you.
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll-free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
Billy Birdie always gets his worm. Me, I always get my way. When you talk about that 5-pound bass, Billy Birdie gets a fish.
Jumping. Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan on the other line, coming from La Paz. We have the Grizz. But look, we have another person on the line that I'm so excited. I think this is going to be, you know, one of our best shows ever, certainly the most informative. We have a veterinarian, And you'd think, what in the heck would a veterinarian be doing on a fishing show? Well, Sam, why don't you introduce yourself and let us know exactly what it is that you do?
Hi, John. How you doing? Well, my name is Sam Dover, and I'm a veterinarian who essentially specializes in marine animals, marine life, whether it's seabirds, fish, but primarily marine mammals. So I do a little bit of everything, and I both work both with animals in the wild. I have a rehabilitation center here in Santa Barbara. We serve the Gaviota Coast, including Ventura County. And then for my paying job, I tend to travel around the world and take care of captive animals and then help with research aspects.
Okay. Well, let me comment a little bit on that because everything you said is true. But first of all, that little facility that you have, what you do is that you rescue mammals, primarily with seals and sea lions and stuff that are in distress. You rehabilitate them and then reintroduce them into the wild. And when you talk about the, what you really do is you fly all around the world, making sure that dolphins in captivity stay happy and healthy. And what some people may not realize, a dolphin in captivity is worth a lot of money.
Oh, yeah, they are. They used to be collected freely in the 60s, and in the early 70s, they passed, in the United States anyway, the Marine Mammal Protection Act, which made it illegal to collect marine mammals with the except purpose of education, research, and scientific studies. So there were a lot of collections in the U.S., up until the mid-80s, late 80s, and they really haven't been done since then. Mm-hmm. Most everybody's heard of the Cove, what occurs in Japan, in Taiji. And yes, that still does occur. In a lot of places around the world, there still are marine mammals both caught for display and for, in some cases, consumption.
Right. Well, you know, one of the main reasons I wanted you to have come on with us today is anybody that fishes blue water, they know about dolphins. First of all, they're very interesting and they're fun, but in certain parts of the world, the yellowfin tuna tend to travel with the dolphins, and so if you can kind of, or the dolphins traveling with the tuna, I don't know, do you?
Yeah, well, no one really knows which came first, the dolphin or the tuna. In that respect, but yeah, you're well aware. I mean, all blue water fishermen that do any amount of time chasing tuna, me included, we know, look for dolphins, look for seabirds, and there's going to be tuna. And so, of course, you know, that's what we take advantage of. As you know, years ago, there was the old dolphin-safe tuna thing, and most of that was just in various other oceans, primarily the Pacific, the Eastern Pacific, and the Western Pacific, where a lot of the commercial tuna fisheries basically would have a large bycatch of dolphins. Of course, the whole dolphin-safe tuna thing eradicated a lot of that. Not completely, of course. It just became what was available in the United States had to abide by that. So it didn't really stop it completely, but it certainly slowed it down.
Now, well, the question is, why are they traveling together?
That's a good question, John. And no one really knows. I'm sure there's quite a few theories, and, you know, the ones I've heard is essentially that the tuna are following the dolphins to pick up scraps from various food. I don't think that one's as likely. I think it's more common, probably, that the dolphins are shadowing the tuna. And hopefully whenever the tuna going into some bait fish, then the dolphins can take advantage of that too. But again, that's purely speculation.
Yeah, because they seem to be eating the same thing all the time. Whenever you find them, you know, it's like match the hatch.
Right. So which came first, the dolphin or the tuna, you know?
I have no idea. And
I don't either.
And I don't know where to study it either. I just know when I see a bunch of dolphins going, I go as fast as I can to get mm-hmm. to them.
Now,
you got it.
Sam, but that's not true with all dolphins. It's what is it, the ones with a white belly is primarily the ones that travel with the tuna?
Well, there's so many different species of dolphin out in the oceans these days. I have been for thousands of years, of course. Different oceans, you're going to, you know, different populations, you're going to have different types of dolphins. Like, for example, common dolphins. That tends to be what we see following the tuna. But again, different ocean, you're going to have a different species.
Well, speaking of different oceans, is there a difference between Atlantic and Pacific?
Oh, vast differences, both in, you know, the main difference, of course, you know, when we deal with the coastal U.S. waters, we're dealing with temperature difference. The Pacific, of course, much colder in reference to the U.S., and the Atlantic being much warmer. So we do get for example, there is an Atlantic bottlenose dolphin and a Pacific bottlenose dolphin. They're both Tercyops truncatus, the genus and the species, but the Pacific are known as a subspecies called Tercyops truncatus gillii. The main difference is they're much larger. They do about the same behaviors. They're both coastal dolphins, but the Pacifics are just much larger, sometimes twice the size, and they also have a darker color.
Sam, we have heard a lot of stories about dolphins and men in the water, about them being helpful to men. Or people that are shipwrecked or stuff that help them to shore. And I don't know if there's any verified stories on such as that, but there does seem to be a certain bond between dolphins and man. Is that right?
Yeah, I'd say there's a lot of stories, anecdotal, you know, where certain animals in certain beaches of the world, you know, like, for example, in down in the west coast of Australia, there's a well-known group of dolphins. It's an area called Monkey Maya that come in and actually interact with the public. So that's very common. There's also been isolated dolphins that have basically taken in a liking to certain human individuals or boats. And then that could be just merely for companionship, because they are very social species. And if you get an individual by itself for whatever reason, it will seek out other forms of socialization.
Interesting. Well, another question, I think, and then Grizz would probably like to know about this also, is when you're trolling through a school of a yellowfin tuna and dolphins at the same time, now we're assuming that they're traveling together and going after the same bait. I don't know that's a fact, but I'm assuming that. But why is it you will never, ever, ever hook a dolphin?
Primarily because of their sonar. Their sonar tells them exactly what's going on, and even in water that they can't visualize. Basically, they have the ability to use radar. And with that radar, sonar specifically, they're able to distinguish very small objects up to, you know, centimeter in size or smaller. And there's been studies done where they can actually tell if that 1 or 2 centimeter object is hollow or solid. So they can actually tell what that is, whether it's a real living bait or not. So if it's something artificial, they're going to tend to ignore it.
Well, tend to ignore it. In other words, if there's a bait that has a hook in it, they would know that bait has a hook in it.
Yes, they would, if they were using their sonar and their common sense, which they don't always do.
Oh, okay.
They're stupid dolphins, just like there are people, aren't there?
Oh, well, people always ask me, you know, aren't dolphins extremely intelligent? And I like to say, you know, the same thing you just did.
All the people are very intelligent, but I know a lot of stupid people.
True that, and I don't want to call certain dolphins stupid, but I have seen some that are less smart than others. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I see that all the time, every time I go down the street.
Yeah. Yep.
But now, more about their very effective sonar. I've heard some interesting reports. Actually, a friend of yours that took us on a tour through SeaWorld, you know, gave us some kind of a behind-the-scenes tour and is talking about dolphins and their ability, what they can find. And there's been some research done that, you know, they have the ability to find if a woman is pregnant or if someone has cancer, or, you know, they seem to be able to sense this. Is there any scientific fact in that?
Well, just like we use ultrasound to examine human organs, including fetuses during pregnancy, we use the same equipment to do the same thing in dolphins. Likewise, dolphins with their sonar, essentially that's what it is. Their sonar is ultrasound imaging that they can see. Only they can see it, not us, obviously. They don't have a screen on their back that we can just flip up and press a button to turn it on. But essentially that's what it is. So, yes, they can definitely tell a pregnant female. And when you put your hand on the water, or if you have something interested they're taking an interest in, you'll actually hear them producing the sounds that then come back to their ears, essentially, and then within their brain, they're able to convert those sound images into a visual image, just like an ultrasound.
Wow, interesting stuff.
You know, I seen something last week I never seen before. I was outside the Finisterre Hotel in Cabo, and there were some big waves coming in, and I seen probably about 20 dolphins riding the waves in just like they were surfing. Well, they actually were surfing. And then right when it gets into a few inches, they swirled off and went back and caught another wave. I've never seen that done in all the years I've been on the water.
Grizz, if you don't mind, I'll interject on that. I live in Southern California, and there's a beach to the south of us called La Conchita, and their logo is a dolphin. And frequently in the summer times, you can go down there, and there'll be surfers in the water, and there'll be dolphins in the water at the same time doing exactly what you said.
I've never seen it before, John.
Sam, that tells me that they're doing it for fun, and that must mean they have a capacity to do things just for fun.
Indeed. Dolphins are one of the few wild species that seem to do things for their own entertainment and pleasure. Not to say other species don't. There are quite a few that do. But it's documented in dolphins that they have a lot of free time when they're not eating. And so they'll engage in other activities, and surfing is one. And let's just say practicing reproductive behavior is another.
Great. Okay.
I have that problem, for fun. Too.
Okay, yeah. Grizz, we're going to have to cut off, but Sam Dover, we've only got a few seconds left, but what is the name of your facility in California?
Yeah, the name of our facility is the Channel Islands Marine and Wildlife Institute. So our acronym is CIMWI, SIMWI. And if you want some more information, just go check our website.
Wow.
And it's simwi.org,
CIMWI.org. Thank you, Sam. That was really incredible. I knew we'd have something a lot of fun. Grizz, why don't you hang around for a couple of minutes? You and I will come back and see if we got something else to talk about. We really appreciate you tuning in to Fish Talk Radio, and we're going to be back with you next week. But remember, go to webtalkradio.net, and you can listen to this and any of the previous shows. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week on Fish Talk Radio.